My name is Pastor Ruben, and my wife, Carmen. That beautiful woman, the most beautiful woman in the congregation, that's my wife. and my son, Brian, which is upstairs with Rabbi Jim. And I just want to tell you a little bit about who I am before I start with the preaching. So I was born Catholic, right? And I was becoming a Catholic priest. I decided to be very close to the Lord, even though my family, my home family, they were not Catholic per se, but my background was Catholic. But since I was a child, I always wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. Why? I don't know. I did not know the Lord, but I wanted to be into His presence. So the best way that I found out when I was 6 or 7, it was to be Catholic, to pray the rosary, to believe in Mary. Because for those of you who don't know, Mary in the Catholic world will ease the anger of Father God. And that's why some people pray to Mary, right? It's not because they want to worship her, even though they're doing it according to the Bible, right? But their mentality is that Father God is very angry, and He wants to pour wrath upon the earth. And the only person that can ease that is Mary. So that's why Catholic people tend to pray to Mary, because it's the only solution that they are thought, okay? So I was becoming a Catholic priest by the age of 16. I decided to go into a Catholic seminary, a formal seminary, to become a Catholic priest. I spent, 8 years there doing all philosophy, all theology. Went to the Dominican Republic. I was a missionary for 12 years there. It's not a waste of time because I met my wife there and we got married. 22 years ago, we got married. So she's been very nice and supportive to my ministry, and I wouldn't have made it without her. Okay, so that's a little bit about me. Before I was going to get ordained, after my 8th year, I was in the Catholic chapel, and I read the Ten Commandments for the first time. I read the Ten Commandments by the first time. There you go. And I know the Ten Commandments, the Catholic version, right? Which they omit 2 commandments and they mix it into I don't know what. So I knew all my Ten Commandments since I was 5 years old of age. But for the first time, when I was like 20, I read the Ten Commandments straight from Exodus. And that was my turning point. I said, something is going wrong here. And then I started to discern. It took me 3 years discerning. I stepped out of the seminary. It took me 3 years, just the Bible and me, Torah and myself. I did not want a feedback from no Pentecostal church, from no Messianic church, from no Catholic, just the Lord and myself. I had enough of churches. I have enough of counsel. So I just needed the Lord to speak direct to my heart. And that first commandment was my turning point once again. And I finally realized that either I was paying attention to Rome or to traditions, or I started to pay attention to Torah. And of course, I decided for the second one because here I am, right? It was a very hard decision. It's not as easy as I'm saying it, because when you grow up thinking that Mary is the only person that eases the stress and the anger of the Father, even though I was not too off praying to Mary or to the saints, we were always more charismatic and praying in tongues and dancing and preaching out loud. But it's very hard. It's a very hard transition. So I'm going to ask you that when you share the gospel, when you share Torah with people that are not too acquainted with this, to be patient with them and try to understand their way of thinking, so then you can teach them and lead them to God, to the throne of grace. Amen? However, I was always very interested for Israel and for the house of Judah. I did not know why, because for some Puerto Ricans, like in my barrio, in my little town, they were saying something like, "You are as bad as a Jewish guy," like when we were misbehaving. So being a Jewish was nothing good, or being I'm acquainted or attracted to the house of Judah was nothing fun when I was getting raised up. But I was always in love with Israel, especially with the house of Judah, Tzitzit, and all these things, and I never knew why. I just know that something inside of me trembles when I hear the Shema. Even though we pray the Shema when we wake up and when we lay down here, still something trembles in my body. It's almost impossible to contain my tears when I hear a Shema. Whether there is a line, a vein, a drop of blood from that plague because my EC and IC last names, or whether I've been just grafted in, only the Father knows, or I would know when I get the swab test, right? But so far, I'm not doing that. But I was always in love with that. At one point, I started to hear a sound in my house, and I did not know what that sound was, just to find out later that was the sound of the shofar, and it was the tekiya gadola, the very long blast, which represents the sound when Yeshua will come back for us, right? And I was hearing that everywhere. And I would say, what is this? Until someone told me that is a shofar. Well, of course, I went for the shofar. I did not know how to blow it. But that person told me, if God is putting that shofar in your heart, you will learn how to blow it. Nowadays, of course, we go everywhere teaching shofar. But that's a little bit of me and myself. And I would love for you to come here and teach me how to do this because, okay, there. Right now, I'm in RN, and we do some workshops. I love to work with oils from the Bible. I believe that oils in the Bible has all the essence for our healing, to set us free, and to meet all the needs that we may have. Very careful with oils because there's a fine line between witchcraft and good oils, right? So you got to be very careful. But it's one of my passions. I've been studying the oils from the Bible like for 10 years now. And at my home, we use them. We try to not to use antibiotics or Tylenol or ibuprofen. All we use is oils from the Bible. And so far, it's been good. Awesome. And I'm going to talk to today about Kedoshim, which means to be holy. Today's parsha is supposed to be Leviticus 16, 17, and 18. However, that those chapters have to do with Yom Kippur. And I'm assuming Rabbi Jean will do an excellent teaching about that when it comes to the time too. So I decided to jump to next parsha for next Saturday, the first part, which is Leviticus 19. And the title is You Should Be Holy. There you go. Okay, so we're going to go maybe up to the 13th chapter, through the 13th verse, if we have time. Leviticus 19. Adonai spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to all the congregation of Israel and tell them, you shall be holy, or Kadoshim, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. And here, right off the back, we have the first commandment. Adonai is instructing them to be holy. It calls my attention that it says, you should speak to all the congregation. If we read between the lines, that tells me that many times or sometimes the Lord was revealing his word to Moshe just for himself or for the elders or for Aaron. But in this time, he said, speak to the whole congregation, meaning that it is attainable to have a kadusha, to have a kedoshim life, to have a holy life. It's not something that is just for Moses. It's not something that is just for Aaron, for the Levites, for the priesthood, but for the whole congregation that was there at Mount Sinai. That you shall be holy because I, your God, Adonai, am holy. And for those of us, those of you, those that are watching us over the TV that may think that this is just part of Torah, of all the Old Testament, and that now we are in the New Covenant, I decided to put some verses from the New Covenant that will back up this. in 1 Peter, right? It says, instead, just like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in everything you do. For it is written, holy you shall be, for I am holy. So this is something that we see in Torah and we see in the new covenant, right? There's always going to be the new covenant. It's always going to be just a reflect, an echo of the Torah. It's not something new. It's not something that Yeshua invented. He was just teaching us the right way to interpret Torah. So that is the first thing that the Lord is asking you today. Be holy, because the one who's calling you to serve him is holy. And he does not act. His holiness is so huge. He is so extremely holy that nothing stained can be in front of him. That's why we have to be holy. Okay? Amen? Each one of you is to respect his and his father and keep my Shabbatot or my Shabbats. I am Adonai, your God. Second commandment, and this may be a review of the 10 words, as you may see. And in this case, respect comes from the Hebrew jareh or jarah, which means to honor, to respect, and to be held in awe. And we also see this in Ephesians 6:2, which says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that it may enjoy long life on the earth. Calls my attention a couple of things here. Calls my attention that the Father makes a connection between honoring your father and your mother and between Shabbat. And that for me is a lot, because Shabbat is a sign between his people and the Father, right? And at the same level, he connects to honor your father and your mother. And there's a lot of misunderstanding and misinterpretation about this commandment. Many people will tell you or will think that you have to do whatever your father and your mother say. That's not what it means. It means to honor, to revere, to have a deep awe for your father and for your mother, to provide for them. If they lead you through the wrong path, you don't have to obey that. But in not obeying those bad paths, you can still honor and you can still respect your father and your mother. Are we okay with that? And plus, it says that it's the first commandment that is attached to a promise. You will live long days. And living long days means to be blessed in a scriptural sense, right? We want to live long days. We want to be blessed. We want to have everything that we need so that we can enjoy the blessings of the Lord while we live in this life. Is that okay? Amen. So in this case, revere means, once again, jare or jara, which means honor, to respect, and to be held in awe. And father and mother, they are type of the Father in heaven. So, if we want to respect and honor and revere and render all kind of worship to the Father in heaven, we have to learn how to do that with our parents here on earth, okay? And sometimes it's very hard to have a relationship with our Father in heaven because we don't have a good relation with our parents here on earth. And we have to ask the Father to heal our heart, to hear our memory, because many times we hear that the Father loves us, that Abba Kadosh, he takes good care of us, but we cannot relate that, because here on earth, people may have a father that was abandoning or mistreating or sexually abusing of them. So it's hard for some people to correlate the love of the Father with the love of an earthly father, right? So one of my prayers and intention in this day is that the Father will heal the heart and the memory of those people that are being injured by their parents so they could better understand the love of the Father in heaven. Until we heal the relationship here with our earthly parents, it's going to be kind of tough and hard to get very attached to the Father in heaven, because it's going to be an ambiguous definition of love. The love of the Father in heaven and the mistreating of the Father here on earth. So I pray in this moment that if any one of us here had a bad experience with their parents, that in this very moment, you take braveness and you put that bad feeling into God's hand so he can start healing your interior. He can start healing your memories, no matter what was said. And please remember that forgiveness is an attitude. It's not a feeling. So it's not valid to say, Pastor Orona, you do not know what my father did to me, and I don't feel like forgiving him. Well, it's not about feeling. It's about desiring. It's about wanting to forgive. It's about an attitude. So I encourage you that in this very moment, if your father had done something to you that is still there, if your mom has done something to you, if they abandoned you, if they mistreated you, I was mistreated. I was punched and slapped all over. But I learned how to forgive my father. And now I better understand the love of Abba Kadosh, his holy, and he's way better than my father. He's way better than anyone else. But it's very important for you to start forgiving. Amen? Can we pray for a minute to take this very serious? Father God, we come to you once again. We are in your presence. We are in a new season. In this moment, we put all our emotions in your hands. We put all our memories from our childhood in your hands. We want to forgive our parents. We want to fix the relationship that was damaged with my mom, with my dad, because we want to better understand your love. Ruach HaKodesh of Adonai Hashem, blow upon this place. Breathe upon this place. Holy Spirit of God, breathe upon this place so that we can be healed, so that our relationship with our parents can be healed and we could better understand your love. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Leviticus 4 and now, let's see. And we're going verse by verse. Okay, here we go. Do not turn to idols or make molten gods yourselves. I am Adonai, your God. And I love how after each verse and after each commandment, the Lord says, I am Adonai, your God. To make sure that it's not Moses who's talking. Make sure that it's not a prophet who's talking. To make sure that it's not a dreamer that had a dream. No, it's me, Adonai, who's talking to you today. You should obey your father and your mother. You should be holy because I am holy. And now you should have no idols. Right? And make sure that it's Adonai who's talking to the congregation. And the word turn here in Hebrew is pana, right? Which means to approach, to look, or to look back. In Spanish, is to face to, right? So I love this verse because many of Messianic people will automatically say, I have no idols. I only worship the Lord. So that commandment is like crisscross, and we skip to the next one. But if we pay attention to the word pana, which is what it's really mean in this verse, it means not only to worship the idols, but not to go to the idols, not to look forward to idols, not to face, to look upon the idols. And this is very interesting. Because some people will have the Father as the only God of Israel, as the only Savior in Yeshua, but they still have other things that they pray to or that they trust. And this is what this is talking about. So it's not just to recognize one only God. It's not just to recognize that Yeshua is our only Messiah and our only Savior, but it's not to look to anyone else. It's not to look to anything else, just to Father God and Yeshua. At the moment we start trusting someone else, the way we should trust only in the Lord, we are falling into that category. At the moment we start looking at a person, at a preacher, at a pastor, at a leader, in the way we only supposed to be looking at Father God, we fall into that category. And I wouldn't like you to fall onto that, because Revelation 21:8 makes echo of this commandment and says, the idolaters, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Okay? So we see once again that whatever is in Leviticus, we will most likely find that in the New Covenant, because the New Covenant makes us an echo, okay? And this is very important, and I was telling you about Catholic way of thinking and rationale, and this is where they fall. They still recognize the Lord as the only God. They still recognize as Yeshua as the only Savior, but then they have saints, and they have virgins. And that is against the word of God. We cannot do that. Many people are even more conservative at the time of interpreting this scripture, this verse. Many people have said that this also implies not to visit temples or sanctuaries that are dedicated to idols. Because you are not supposed to pana. You're not supposed to look forward. You're not supposed to be in awe for those things. And I don't know you, but I have heard so many stories and so many testimonies about people that went to some countries and they went to idol's temple. And then they come back and they call me at 3 in the morning. I can sleep. I see shadows in my room. I hear noises. And then when we start praying, right? Word of wisdom and word of signs. God tells us, where were you? You were in a place that you were not supposed to be. You were doing things that you were not supposed to do, that you were not supposed to be doing. And that's what this verse speaks about. It is very critical to understand, before I move to the next verse, that evil things tend to be very attractive. There are people that have a call from God, has a ministry, right, to rebuke demons, to speak about demons, and ultimately we all have that power granted from Yeshua, right? But something is that we can do it, and then we have another thing that is the ministry. When you do that all the time, that's a ministry, right? So we have to be very careful, because people that have not the ministry to do that, evil things are very attractive. And everybody likes to read books about demons and about all these kind of things. So we have to be very careful. When God is leading us to read about that, when the Father is leading us to study about that in order to fulfill that in our ministry, or when is Satan leading us to go into a field that we are not be supposed to go in, that we're not supposed to be going there. Okay, so please pay very careful attention. When you have the eager, the intention, and the desire to study all these things, discern. Pray. Probably it's the Father. Hopefully it's Father God who's leading you to do that, right? But we always have to discern. We always have to pray whether it's one thing or the other. Because once again, I've seen so many people going into things that they don't need to go, going on a mission to the Dominican Republic or Haiti and praying against voodoo. And then they come to our house with all kinds of issues, with all kinds of problems, right? You may have the desire, but if you don't have the call from the Father, you have to pray about it. You may have the best intention, but it's not about intention. It's about a call from heaven. It's about an anointing from the Ruach HaKodesh. Amen? Let's jump to the verse 8. When you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to Adonai, you are to offer it so that you may be accepted. We're not going to talk about the sacrifice of offering, but what I want to bring to your attention is verse 8. Moreover, everyone who eats it will bear the consequences of profaning something holy meant to Adonai. The person will be cut off from his people. What this is talking about is the sacrifice of peace. You are supposed to eat it on the same day, at the most the second day, but on the third day it's profane. You cannot eat it. We don't do that because there's no temple. We don't do that. But what I want to call up your attention is that when we do worship, when we praise the Lord, when we come into His presence, we have to do it the way He establishes, not the way we want. Because He's the one to set up the rules to approach and to go into the Holy of Holies. It's not however I want. He has written 5 books. He has written the Torah to lead us, to teach us the way to walk step by step, right? To go from the outer court to the inner court, right? And then to go to the holy place and ultimately to the Holy of Holies. But the same way that the Lord said when to eat it, how to eat it, and when not to eat it, the same way He establishes the rules for each one of us. And I think that's why many people, they just pray and pray and pray and pray, and they don't see good results because they're doing the things on their way and not in the Bible way, not on Yeshua's way, not on Torah's way. Are you relating this to yourself or to someone else? Like, Pastor, we've been praying for 3 years. How are you praying? Pastor, we just sing and sing and sing and nothing happens. How are you singing? Are you approaching the Holy of Holies, the holy place, in His way or in your way? We often hear, come to the Lord in whichever situation you are. I don't know about that. Because the Word of God tells me that the only path to the Lord is Yeshua. And unless you make a covenant, you cut a covenant with Yeshua, accept Yeshua as your only Savior and Lord, ask for repentance, right, and for forgiveness, and unless you are shred by the blood of Yeshua, you cannot go to the Father. So how come I often hear, just come to the Father in whichever situation you are? So we have to start to learn how to unwind, right, and reprogram our minds according to the Bible. Once again, what I want to make sure here is that we approach the Lord in His ways, not in our ways, okay? Leviticus 9:11. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. We cannot steal money or time from Adonai, from your brethren, or at work. This is once again a review from the 10 words, right? What is important here is that we know what is to steal, we know what is to lie, and we know what is not to deceive other. But we not only steal cash or money. Please don't steal time from your brethren. Please don't steal time from your congregation. Please don't steal time from the pastor. Please don't steal time from your wife, from your husband, from your kids. Everyone has a time and they deserve to be respected in those times, right? Once again, this 3, and I have to go fast because I only have 7 more minutes, and my wife is already scratching her ear, which means Reuben, quit. Hey? That's the sign. When she starts scratching her ear, that means I have to quit. Leviticus 9:11, we see it on Ephesians 4:25. And I wanted to bring this because many times people think that these are just commandments of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant. All this is in the New Testament. It's in the New Covenant. And that's the reason why I'm doing both things at the same time so that you can see, okay? There's one more. I just have to... Don't cause greed. Let's jump on that. Leviticus 9:12. And we're going to finish with this. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not falsely swear by His name. People were asking me, why cannot we swear when in Matthew says, do not swear by the earth, or do not swear by the temple, or do not swear by your hair? And here is implicitly stating that you can swear. So you can swear by God's name if it's true. If you're swearing for something honorable, that is true. You cannot swear for things, for the temple. You cannot swear for your hair. You cannot swear by Jerusalem, right? But you may swear for the name of God. This is what it says here, right? But what I want to make sure that you understand is that do not use the name of the Lord in vain, because nobody will be without punished, when you use the name of the Lord in vain. And that's just one of the things, and I want to give you some very quick examples. When we look for state, federal, government, local aid, are we lying? Because if we're lying, we are basically making a false swear in the name of the Lord. And then we cannot be blessed. I don't hear amens and I don't hear no hallelujahs, but I'm still going to preach. If we are getting things, if we are getting a benefit through a lie, those benefits will turn into a curse to you. And those benefits will, the sooner or the later, Satan is going to come for those things that he has given you. Because the things that come from heaven are the good deeds, not the bad deeds. So whatever you obtain with lies, whatever you obtain signing things that are not true, today is the day that we need to ask God for forgiveness. Today is the day that we need to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I don't want that. No matter what consequences I'm going to be paying, no matter if I'm going to be left behind, no matter what happens, but I have to stop doing that. Okay, we have to heal our interior. We have to ask God for forgiveness because then we will be able to go into the Holy of Holies. We cannot go into the Holy of Holies with all these things. Amen? There's something else here. Am I going back or forth? Stealing and curses. Zechariah 5. Again, I raised up my eyes. This is a vision that he has. And I saw in front of me a flying scroll. He said to me, "What do you see?" I replied, "I see a flying scroll 30 feet long and 15 feet wide." He said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. Everyone who steals will be swept away from here according to it. And everyone who swears will be swept away from here according to it. I will send it out. It's a declaration of Adonai Sevaot. And it will enter into the house of the thief and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name and will reside inside his house, destroying it, both his wood and its stones." Oh, my. There is a curse from the Lord, straight from heaven, for those people that swears falsely or that steal. And according to the veridic, to the true word of the Lord, that curse is going to stay in that house until everything is demolished. So before I finish, I have to pray. We have to pray. If we have swear falsely, if we have steal, if we are still stealing something, or if we have stolen something, or if our parents have stolen something and that curse has arisen upon us, we have to break that today. Because I don't want you to go out of that door with a curse. And maybe you didn't know, but now you know better. Now there's no excuses. So the time, I just have 2 minutes. If we can pray. If we can all come into agreement and ask the Lord that we want these things out of our lives. We want no curses. We want no lies. We want no false promises. But we want to be set free. We want the freedom of the Ruach HaKodesh of the Holy Spirit so that we can worship in freedom, so that we can next Shabbat listen to his word in freedom, and that we can go home now in the freedom of the Lord, in the freedom of the Spirit. Amen. Father God, the time is here. This is so short, Father God. I love to be in your presence. I just want to ask you, Father God, that what I have taught here, that it will come into accomplishment right now. I want to ask you by your mercy. I want to implore you. I want to ask you that if we have found grace in your throne, that you help us to accomplish this and to take away any falsehood, any stealing that we have done in the past, because we don't want curses, Father. Sometimes we work and work and work, and we see that we get a paycheck, and not even before catching it, we are broke. Maybe it's because we are cursed. Maybe it's because we are stealing. Maybe it's because we are lying. Maybe it's because you are being paid 8 hours of work and you're only working 7.5 hours. And you're taking extra lunch break, an extra smoking break, God forbid, or something like that. And you are stealing. And there's a curse for people that steal. Or maybe you make a promise that you were going to pay a loan, and now you're not paying the loan, so you falsely promised something. Even if you didn't have the means to get up to date, you have to come to the Lord. And you have to come into agreement with the Lord. And I bet you that the Lord will help you get rid of that. But there's no more stealing. There should be no more stealing. Willingly or unwillingly. Okay? Because we want no curses. Father God, we repent from any stealing in our life. We repent and we make a good compromise with you. We compromise. We want to change. If we were getting paid 8 hours of work and we are working less than 8 hours, we don't want to steal any more from our employers. If we are stealing time from our husbands, from our wives, from our family, we no longer want to steal time from them because we don't want to be cursed by you. If we have promised in vain, if we have used your name and we are carrying out the curse of being depressed or oppressed because Satan will take advantage of all that, we ask you for forgiveness, Father God. We ask you that you break every chain. We ask you that you set us free. We ask you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that we can learn how to drive our lives, that we can learn how to conduct our lives in a proper way according to Leviticus 19, Father God. We ask you for forgiveness. And most of all, we ask you that if we are carrying any curse in our back, that those curses to be released out from us. You have the power to do that, Father. We are no longer in Egypt. We don't want to carry any curse. We don't want to carry any of the consequences of our sins. So today we repent and we declare because you have ears to listen our prayer, that we are set free from any of these consequences from sins in the past. In Yeshua's name, Father, we come to you and we trust you. We worship you. We declare that Yeshua is the only Savior in our life, Father God. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Teach us how to live in your kingdom. Teach us how to conduct ourselves in your kingdom. Teach us how to bring honor to your kingdom. You are the only king. We are your citizens. Teach us how to bring honor to your kingdom by not stealing, by not robbing, and by doing all the commandments that you have told us to do. Help us to be holy. Help us to be holy and take away the lie of the devil that's not possible, because it is possible, because your word says so. Your word tells me to be holy. That means that it is possible to be holy. It is a lie from Satan that you cannot be holy, guys. It is a lie from Satan, females, that you cannot be holy. It is a lie from Satan, because the Lord is commanding you to be holy. That means that it's achievable. You can be holy, and you are called to be holy. We give you all the honor and all the glory, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We all come into agreement and say, Amen. Amen.